My name is Bob Parrish. I'm a member here at this church. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8. This is a short psalm, and as such, I think it that I do well to present a short sermon to you. I personally love this Sunday of the year, this last Sunday of the year. This is an opportunity where we can look back to this past year and see and recognize God's providential care in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. And at the same time, this is a Sunday where we look forward and we trust that the God who produced a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Listen carefully. This is God's word. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Pray with me. Our Lord and our God, we humbly pray that you speak to us of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, when I do a devotion or teach on Psalm 8, I normally start with a question for the group. And the question is, what makes you feel small? What makes you feel small? And what I've noticed over the times that I have taught this is most often the answer is something like, I once stood next to the Grand Canyon or Yosemite or I looked up at the stars. I experienced a thunderstorm like no other. Or in San Diego, a sunset that was just so majestic. But every once in a while, someone will answer that question by saying something like, when someone makes fun of me, I feel small. And what's interesting is that one's answer is based either in humility or humiliation. Now, short psalm, short message, here's the big idea for today. This psalm first teaches us that when it comes to our relationship with God, our feeling small is always defined in humility and never in humiliation. It's in our humility that we see God's creativity and his redemption. Psalm 8 celebrates the glory and the grace of God, who he is and what he has done. This prayer is full of joy and awe. Now, this psalm has nearly all aspects of our relationship with God. In this psalm, we see God's majesty, his greatness, and reflecting back, we see our littleness before our Creator. We see God's grace lifting us up to a position described as a little lower than the angels. Yahweh, covenant Lord, our master, how majestic is your name in all the earth. C.S. Lewis says of this psalm, "This short, exquisite lyric is simplicity itself, an expression of wonder at mankind and their place in nature, and therefore at God who appointed it." We see that God is wonderful both as judge and as creator. How majestic is your name in all the earth. This psalm is not concentrated, it's expansive. Now, it's often said that the Psalms aid us in our conversation with God. The Psalms, Eugene Peterson says, the Psalms are not prayed by people trying to understand themselves. They are not the record of people searching for the meaning of life. Psalms are prayed by people who understood that God had everything to do with them. And David in Psalm 8 looks at the beginning, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers." And David sees not God's remoteness, but his eye for detail. At the heart of this psalm, right in the center of this psalm, is the question, "What is mankind that you are mindful of us?" And David asks this question not from a position of pessimism, but astonishment that God is mindful of us at all. Long before we acknowledge God, long before we respond to Him, He is mindful of us. We are the crown jewel, if you will, of His creation, and it is very, very good. From this position of littleness and humility, David reminds us that God crowned us with glory and honor. And as such, God's calling for us is not a burden, it's a blessing. "You made them ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." One commentator writes on that, that God reaches down and mankind reaches out. All are cared for in tenderness. It is good for us to be awed at the greatness of God. Augustine declared that the secret of spiritual growth is three words: humility, humility, humility. And David answers this question, "What is mankind?" from a God-focused, a God-centered perspective. You see, who we are depends upon who God is and what God has done. We see ourselves best when we reside in this tension of the greatness of God and the littleness of mankind, the littleness of ourselves. And when we understand humbly that our significance is within the sovereignty of God. Now, I said at the outset that this psalm has nearly all aspects of our relationship with God. God's majesty, His greatness, our littleness before our Creator, and in God's grace lifting us up. Do you notice what's missing in this psalm in regards to the relationship? What's missing is the fallen nature of our sin. This is mankind's relationship with God before the fall. This is the original design of God before sin. And then, looking again at this psalm, what does the phrase "the Son of Man" remind you of? It was Christ's favorite expression of who He was. He referred to Himself over and over as the Son of Man. This is a Christological psalm. This psalm, David prophetically speaks of the coming of Christ. Many psalms do that, actually. Much of the Old Testament does that. This psalm is not just about us. This psalm is about Christ, the one without sin. And God crowned Him with glory and honor. and made him ruler over the works of God's hands. And God put Jesus Christ over everything under his feet. It is because of the work of Christ foretold in this psalm and many Old Testament scriptures that our relationship with God is restored. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we too are crowned with glory and honor. Now, understanding this aids in our humility as we accept God's grace. And it reminds us that our relationship with him is never in humiliation. In Ephesians, it says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This psalm is like an hourglass, the pronouncement of praise. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth," is bookended at the beginning and at the end of this. And that praise is funneled through this question: what is mankind that you are mindful of them? All the wonder and the majesty that's described at the beginning funnels through this question and ends up with our salvation and stewardship in the end. Now, Lisa and I, my wife and I, are part of a covenant community group that meets at our house weekly. And we are currently going through the book of Matthew. And when we reached Matthew chapter 3, Nate O'Neill, one of the members of our group, led that discussion. We read the portion in chapter 3 where Jesus is baptized. And after he comes up out of the water, a voice from heaven says, "This is my son in whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And Nate asked our group, "Do you think God says that about you? Do you think God says that about you?" And there was noticeable silence in the room. Does God say to you, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I love, with you I am deeply pleased"? And I think the reason for the silence and the reason for us here is that most of us answer that question from a position of how well we feel we have followed God's will for our life. But for David, the answer is not behavior focused. For David, it is God focused. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, what is mankind that you are mindful of us? And yet you made us a little lower than the angels. You made us ruler over the works of your hands." The question for today, the question for this last Sunday of the year, looking forward to the new year, is: does God say to you, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I love. With you I am deeply pleased"? There's a famous sermon that was done by Brennan Manning. In his sermon, he started off by saying, "I am utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus will ask one question and only one question. Did you believe that I loved you? That I desired you, that I waited for you day after day, that I long to hear the sound of your voice?" He says the real believers there will answer, "Yes, Jesus, I believed in your love, and I tried to shape my life as a response to it." But many of us who are so faithful in our ministry and our practice and our church going are going to have to reply, "Well, frankly, no, sir. I mean, I never really believed it." And he continues, "There's the difference between the real believers and the nominal Christians that are found in our churches across the land." Brennan goes on to say, "The God revealed by and in Jesus Christ, who this moment comes right to your seat and says, I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every moment of sin, of shame, of dishonesty, of degraded love that has darkened your past. Right now, I know your shallow faith, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship. And my word is this. I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are. Those who listen to that, those are the ones who will answer, yes, Jesus, I believed in your love, and I try to shape my life as a response to it. This is how we come to Christ. We do not clean up our lives first. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It's the work after we receive the gift of grace. And this work of the Holy Spirit is the change that the grace of Christ is developing in our lives as we continue. And so the same grace that saves us is the grace that sanctifies us, that sets us apart. Paul's words to Titus help underscore the meaning of this grace when he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all mankind. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purity for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Do you see how freeing this is for us and for others that we come in contact with? We don't clean ourselves up first, and we don't tell others to do the same. It is in humility that we stop trying to manufacture God's presence or twist the arm of others to see it. Our job is simple. We point to the one, continually cultivating a sensitive awareness in ourselves. Now many have resolutions during this week. And many Christians' resolution is often about what we're going to do for Christ this year. This year, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do these things for you, Christ. What if instead we took to heart the words of David in Psalm 131? My heart is not proud. My ears are not boastful, but I have quieted and stilled my soul. I do not concern myself with things too great for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child with its mother is my soul. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. You see, this is a weaned child. This is not one who's nursing, who's dependent, who's relying solely on its mother to survive. This is one who's content with just sitting in the lap, knowing about the care the mother provides. What's appropriate as a resolution is not what we're going to do for Christ. What's appropriate is that we come to Christ. That we come to Christ's table. Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus asks his disciples at the first communion. And Jesus says this just before he offers us communion. Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you believe that God loves you? That he desires you? That he waits for you day after day and longs to hear the sound of your voice? True believers will answer, yes. Yes, Jesus, I believe in your love, and by your Holy Spirit, I am learning to shape my life as a response to it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Come to the table. Jesus is waiting for us there. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, the heavens indeed declare your glory. The skies proclaim the works of your hands. So give us attentive eyes, ears, and a heart to see your glory. And may we listen to your words, because the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving our soul. Teach us, we pray. To sit on your lap like a weaned child with its mother and put our hope in you, both now and forevermore. Amen.